James Beard Award-winning chefs Mark Geyer and Clark Fraser of Maine's Arrows in M.C. Perkins Cove and the soon-to-be-open M.C. Medici in Boston will be hosting a dinner at City Grit Culinary Salon on Tuesday, June 25th, 38 Prince Street between Mulberry and Mott. For more information, visit www.citygritnyc.com/#arrow.
Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music. With musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Oh man, it's like the speakers picked that up as we're fading it down.
Yeah, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz.
I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz, little tippy toes, who'll be coming at you live.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
live. Right, yeah.
Swizzle Stick is the name of the track off the new, or can we say EP?
Yeah, yep. EP. Yeah.
And the new record on Let's Play House. Shout out to Jacques and Nick.
Yeah. Long time coming.
Yeah.
But first, who do we have on for food guest today? We have. Have you met these guys before?
I think we've met these guys before. This is also another long time coming. We have Ignacio and Thomas, two of our favorite.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you put those mics right in front of your faces?
Hi.
From Estella, the new restaurant, which is not named after someone's grandmother, just sounds very nice.
Yeah. It's Thomas' middle name.
It is my middle name.
Is it really?
I went from Harold to Estella.
Okay. That's quite a process.
Yeah, you know, the government wasn't very happy about it, but, you know, when you're passionate about something.
Can you just change, like, middle names? You're like, I'm good with the first and the last, but I got to get that middle one.
I would change it if it made a cool acronym. Like, if my three.
Like, if yours was, like, DOB instead of DNB?
Yeah.
Or DAB?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too many. Or DIB. We got a lot.
DIB.
I got too much shit for my current acronym, THC, so I thought I would change it up a little bit.
Oh, TEC.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the show. We've known you guys for a while. Why don't you give a little background on who you are and how you guys met, the story of Thomas and Ignacio.
Ignacio, take it away.
Let's just set this up that they have just opened up their first restaurant together, and this is the first weekend, and I'm assuming you're a little tired.
You know, yeah, I would say a bit tired, but excited.
And we just plied them with a whole bunch of pizza.
Yeah, so I'm about to fall asleep.
So that's the premise.
Yeah.
So how did you two meet?
You know, I met Mark Connell, the other partner who owns Bar Botanica, at Blue Hill, where I worked, and he came in and we just became friendly, and then he opened up a place called Bluebird Coffee, I think, when it was open or when he had control of it. I thought it was maybe one of the top three coffee shops in the city. And then we became friends, and he told me about the space that he had above, and he's like, we need to find a chef. And there's this guy who I know as, we kind of call him the Truffle Guy.
Is that your nickname? Yeah.
No.
Somebody else.
No, this guy, John Magazzino, who is really into mushrooms of all types.
Nice.
Okay. This is the most drug references in any episode.
I know, right? Sorry.
we got two right now.
I know. Yeah. Sorry. So, John Magazzino is like, you should definitely give Nacho a call. Ignacio, sorry. He's definitely give him a call, and then we started hanging out, Mark, Ignacio, and myself, and we just all really clicked, and we decided to make a very challenging decision to open up a restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, what goes into that decision? Because, you guys both came from, like, very strong backgrounds, and, you know, places you could have been hired anywhere as a chef, and you, I mean, obviously one of the most prestigious positions, you could have just gone somewhere else, but, like, what was it? You're like, fuck it, let's throw our hats in the ring, and, like, what do you think, like, that you're saying that wasn't being said?
Well, why?
Wow.
Yeah. What?
Wow. That might be the toughest question we've ever asked on Snacking Team. Wow.
Well, I thought to myself, why have another cush som job where I get to drink really expensive wine when I can completely complicate my life and open up a restaurant?
No, right, but there has to be something that goes in that decision, like, not just, like, blowing up, but, like, there had to be something that was missing.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. It's like, you know, I can't speak for Ig, but we're very passionate about what we do. And on my end, there's not too many places in the city that, you know, there's so many great restaurants in the city and in Brooklyn. There's so many great restaurants, but I felt that there was something missing in the sense of having something casual with really heightened food. I mean, there's just so many places like that, but especially in the neighborhood we opened in, and, you know, it was time.
Where are you
to create 47 East Houston.
Okay.
And it was time to create something. You know, it's like, I've been a critic for, you know, that's what you do with wine. You're always shaking a stick at it, you know, which is not the best way to go. You know, a lot of times you look at things in a vacuum, but it was time to, you know, create something and kind of put your money where your mouth is.
Ignacio, what got you excited about opening up a new restaurant? Where you were at the helm from the beginning?
It's the challenge of doing your own thing, you know, and have control on, you know, on every decision that you do. You know, from the paint to keeping the floor as it was to the lighting and, like, having the budget and, like, I don't know, it's like kind of pretty stupid and fun decision to do, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to go through it. And
now, you know, what's it like as being two older, not older gentlemen, but you're not teenagers, you're
what
not...
What the fuck?
Yeah. And let me get there.
Hold on, this guy is 40, I'm 33.
I'm 37, thank
no,
you.
No, hold on, now let me get to it. I'm saying is that, you know, it seems like you guys didn't know each other. Were you guys weren't friends before, right? You guys met and became friends.
We have like a bunch of friends in common.
So what was it?
We never really got to like met.
But now you two are friends. So what was that friendship courtship like?
You weren't living in the city, actually. You were living up in Tarrytown.
I was living in Brooklyn. Ah. I drove every
day. You learn new things every day.
Every day. Anything. Every day.
I drove. I drank.
That's Latin, right?
Yes.
But what was it like to you two getting to know each other? And then when did you decide that you guys wanted to go into business together? Was it, you know, partners at first sight? Or was it like sniffing butts like dogs do at the park? And then you decided to hang out.
Wow.
It was a little bit of that.
A little bit of circling around?
Yeah. There's got to be.
Well, it was pretty... Yeah, but it was pretty quick. It was like... you know, when you click with somebody, it's like when you meet a girl and you say, like, wow, this is... You know, then... Yeah. It was a snap. And we moved forward pretty quick from that moment on.
So, Thomas, you were leaving, like... Corkscrews over Ignacio's apartment, and Ignacio was leaving like chef knives over at your apartment. Sort of like,
wow, yeah, maybe. I don't know if I would say corkscrews. No, magnums. But you know,
magnums.
I would say that we did click because
you like magnums.
Yeah, we were popping mags.
That's popping mags.
Yeah.
So what was the first? So you know, so Ignacio, you do all the food. Thomas, you do all the wine. Was there a bottle of wine that you served to Ignacio and vice versa? Was there some food you cooked for Thomas that was sort of like, this is what I'm thinking, this is the type of food or drink I want to do, and you guys are like, this is going to work?
Yeah, we kind of shared, like, we started talking about places and traveling, and by coincidence, we were in pretty similar places, and by coincidence, they were in Europe, some of them, that they are very beverage and like beverage oriented, you know what I mean? And it's not about just the food, it's like about creating this environment. And that was the click, you know, and the food, you want to do food that you want to eat on your day off, and that you could have it three times a week, and you know, and still commit to great ingredients. And it's difficult because we wanted to make it as affordable as possible, but it's not easy when you have like, you're using, you know, the best ingredient that you can find. So
yeah.
It was a combination of all these things, but yeah, we wanted to do a very casual and relaxed place that you just can come in anytime and you don't need to commit, like the way that you did the other day, you know? You just came for a drink and a resort climb and like, bye, you know, simple as that. And you don't feel that you should order anything or like have a meal.
Except for a drink, very expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some music, and then we're going to talk about the wine and the drinks and the food and the bites.
And creating a food place that's not a wine bar and a wine bar that's not a food place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah. Here we go. This is another one of our favorite summer jams. Shout out to their awesome set at Bonnaroo XX Reunion on Snacky Tunes.
Maybe tonight else in sight, you shine a light. There goes that feeling, won't let me see them. Never, not ever, never, not ever again.
So good.
So when we sat with you guys back in and had, you know, had dinner with you guys, you were like, yeah, we're
China Cafe, shout out
China Cafe.
China Cafe.
You were like, yeah, we're opening.
So they have a great samba. Really great samba, just knows where to opening bottles of wine.
Really?
No. Do you not remember?
Oh yeah, we brought some wine.
Yeah, and then never mind. I was trying to make a joke.
Sorry.
You guys are like, you know, you were like, do you guys have a word or is there a restaurant name for like a food place that's not a wine bar and a wine bar is not a food place. Did you guys ever figure out how to present
that? How to describe that?
Yeah. No. Besides that, like, overly complicated.
I don't know. I feel like we all like to, like, compartmentalize things, but we're just looking for an equal footing of both the food and the wine, and it's, so far it's working. I mean, and we're achieving that.
Because it's pretty standard that a wine bar is going to have terrible food, for the most
part.
There's
some good ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Terrible is maybe a stronger word, but just, like, it's not, you're not, they're not, they don't have a name chef. How about that?
What about Terroir? It's a wine bar. They have good food, don't they?
Past guest. Yeah.
Well, Paul Greco is on here.
What's your next question?
I got no questions. okay.
So, I mean, as you guys are, as you guys were building the menu and building the wine list, you know, how much did you guys work together? I mean, again, established in your own rights, like, how much collaboration was building both of the, would you be like, I wanted to use this wine? You're like, let me concept a dish for it, or like, I have this great dish, or like, let me find a wine for it, or...
I think it works, you know, we think it works like, hey, try this, and like, reading, you know, reading his reaction towards whatever he's eating, or like, you know, you always need feedback, and, you know, I rely on his taste, and he rely on my taste, like, that's how he does it too, you know, he come and try this, you know, and like, sometimes you don't really need to say much, it's just like the expression, and it makes sense. You know, give you a little bit of reference.
Pantomiming. you know, I have. Even though we are looking for an equal footing, I do. I come from the school of thought that you're in a restaurant setting and it's food first. Like, I follow the food, but that being said, Egg's food is exactly what my type of wine is supposed to go with. It's like exactly what it's supposed to go with. So. You know, like, it hits all the spots. You know, Ig's food is like it's very bright, elegant, I hate that word, you know, expression, like, clean food, but it is. It's, like, really focused, and and you could eat it all the time, and it's like you don't feel like you feel. I feel like a mark of a restaurant is like how you feel not just while you're eating, but how do you feel like after, even the next morning. Like, do you feel energized from the food? And that's something I get from Ignacio's food, is I feel energized. So this is the kind of wines that I'm after. You know, like, I like the whole world of wine. But the wines that I really love and that I will drink every day and go home and drink a bottle of go with this type of food.
Right? Oh, you know? Give us an example of one of the dishes that you created for the menu.
I'm trying to do very little to the food. And something that we were trying yesterday, it was a trout, Edenbrook trout.
Blew my mind.
You know, just like barely broil and then just tear it down in little pieces, some raw, gorgeous little piece and fava beans, yuzu, and, you know, a very salad olive oil and horseradish. You know, it's just like so refreshing, light, but real. You know, it's just like it tastes like real food and it looks, but, you know, very approachable, you know, and that's what I'm trying to work, you know. It's like trying to make like homey, tasty food, you know, that it looks approachable and easy, you know.
And what did you pair with that?
It killed it. It was a 2012, I don't know if you call it Para, but I had a nice gulp of it. It was 2012 Weiser Kunstler Riesling from the Middle Mosel. He's an Elegruber, which was, it's like this salty, you know, it's one of these Riesling guys in the Middle Mosel is using feral yeast or native yeast, or ambient yeast, rather. And it was just like, it's like one of those moments where, like, everything's clicking, you know? It was really beautiful. It's good.
So how deep does your wine list go? I know that you guys have a really fair price and great selection, but is there a private reserve? Is there
not really... Everything's on the list. I mean, the wines by the glass list and the, you know, beers and sherries and blah, 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 it's all on the back of the menu. So you have everything in front of you to kind of... I always hate when you have that experience of you sit down and then somebody gets a cocktail list, somebody gets the wine list. Although there is, you know, one person would get the wine list when they ask for it, but, like, on the back of the menu, you have the wines by the glass and the cocktails and the beers and non-alcoholic beverages, so nobody has to, like, fight for something. But on the wine list, there's probably, it went a little bit further than I anticipated, but there's like around 200 references, but which will wax and wane, you know?
What is the process of like pulling something off the list? Like, does it break your heart a little bit?
No, you know, it's like if something isn't, if people aren't crazy about something, like we all, you know, what will you gravitate towards, you know, and maybe it's not received well, or especially like by the bottle stuff, that's not as applicable as it is like by the glass selections. There could be something that I'm in love with but nobody else really likes, so what's the point of having it if people aren't into it?
You're like, I'm gonna take my bottle home and fuck you guys.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So when you have a 200 deep list, how many of those wines are getting ordered, or how do you, you know, make sure that those that they're all in rotation?
Rotation, how do you mean?
Well, like, are people, you know, people look at a giant list or like a well-curated list, like, I know some people gravitate to some of the heavy hitters, but how do you make it so that all the wines are getting tried?
Well, I mean, it's a thing. It's like, maybe some of them won't get tried, but, you know, and it's not, you know, I just, you know, you get a little excited. The reason why the list got bigger is, you know, I really love German and Austrian wines, especially with some of this food. It kills it. Like, it really is perfect. And you just, you get excited and you get things here and there and you put them on. And how do they get exposed in rotation? Sometimes they don't. And it's really kind of up to you to turn people on. I mean, what you're doing is you're kind of matching people up with wines. It sounds stupid, but you do. It's like, it's not a selling thing. It's just making a match between somebody, you know?
So you guys are, you know, 1 week open, you know, besides, you know, no sleep and 18-hour days. What do you guys have coming in the... next month? Is it
how
just
do you guys feel right now?
After that pizza, pretty good.
Yeah? No, but you know, you just got through, you'll never have your first opening weekend of this restaurant ever again.
We have an amazing team. I mean, today, I actually, for me, that was the feeling, you know, like, you know, Sunday on the summertime in New York, you know, first week, it wasn't as busy as we would like it to be, but, you know, leave and say, wow, we really pulled an amazing group of people. So we have a bunch of talented and, like, interesting, smart, fun group of people, and I don't know, I just being very pleased with that, you know, like saying like, wow, and the places come together the way that we expected, and it's relieving and also quite tired.
Yeah,
I mean, what's the some plan for summer? You know, you have all this heat and press coming out now, but what do you guys do to sustain that? What do you guys do to keep the buzz going?
I think just keep doing what we're doing. Try to get better and better and better, and keep putting out the same quality, and keep everybody excited and coming back. You know, summer is rough in the city. It can be. You know, it's like people are, you know, they want to be out at the beach, as they should be. But, you know, they should also come back during the week
and eat in our fucking restaurant. All right, well, do you want to give people the nuts and bolts where they can find you online, social, physical, brick and mortar?
Yeah, we're on Twitter.
Ooh.
Wow.
I just found out the name for the
Instagram.
Bird for Twitter. His name is Larry.
Larry?
Yeah.
What was his last name? Horowitz?
Yeah, I'm sure. Larry Tweetmeister.
Thought it was Horowitz with the first name Larry.
Yeah.
We're at 47 East Houston, EstellaNYC.com.
What's the Instagram and Twitter handle?
You know what? I have no idea.
Okay.
My fiance is going to kill me, but I have no goddamn idea.
Wow. Wait, it's not
people of,
no, I'll tell you right now. You can tell me. I got it right here.
Is it not EstellaNYC?
It is EstellaNYC.
It is. Thank you.
It is EstellaNYC.
Okay. Do you want to spell that for people?
Being what did you call me? An older gentleman?
Oh, my God.
I'm not used to these.
No, that's not what I meant.
Did you have a senior moment?
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
look, there's this article that came out about making friends over 30. And you guys became friends over 30. It's
really
topical.
Yeah, but that's not applicable to New York. I feel like in New York, yeah, you make that, friends. That's like Montana. Or, yeah, or like, you
I would
know,
agree.
Arkansas.
It was in the Times. So it must be about you. They only write about it's a great local paper. It's a good local read.
They just wrote about Molly this weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
They did.
Yeah, super. You know, on point topic.
You make friends while taking Molly.
Yeah, over 30. That's how they do it.
That's how they do it. Culture tried.
It was the counterpoint.
I've yet to read the article. I heard it.
Actually, that's how Mark and I became friends. Well, Mark didn't partake.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Back rubs.
I knew it.
That's how you left your corkscrew in his apartment.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being on. We got Tippy Toes coming up live in studio next. But we're gonna play. What are you gonna play? I'm gonna play. It's like one of the two tracks off the Deaf Heaven record that you can actually play. It's called Irresistible, and it is not. It does not represent the band as the screaming deathcore metal band. But this is just a really pretty track.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you.
is like the antithesis of the rest of the
record. Yeah, it's like a shoegaze death metal band called Sweet. Death Heaven. Really, really awesome. Yeah, really like melt your ear, like head nodding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tippy Toes, welcome.
Welcome.
Yes. Abe and Morgan. Morgan, your second time on Snacky Tunes?
Yeah, number two.
By the way, by far, that Midnight Magic performance was like one of the all-time best in studio.
Thanks. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah, we really crammed it in here.
Yeah, that was also like the most members, I think, for there. Mm-hmm. And Abe, welcome. Long-time listener, first time.
Probably
never listened before, that's okay. No, name your favorite episode, quick. Just kidding. Just say Midnight Magic.
Yeah.
So why don't you guys give a little background on Tippy Toes? Because for anyone who knows you guys, it's been like in the making for a long time.
And it's grown and shrunk member-wise.
It actually, the very first inception was just Morgan and I working on tracks together. And then it grew with Guy Licata.
Shout out to Guy. Papa Guy.
And then with Andrew Raposo.
Slap at a bass.
This is all during the...
He's part of that Pregnant Pause, right?
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And then, lo and behold, Reggie Watts, out of nowhere.
Past guest as well.
Yeah. And
also your favorite episode.
Yes. First favorite ever. Reggie. I think Midnight Magic might be my second favorite.
Yeah. Oh. Band over.
No one can fuck with Reggie, man.
No, man. Reggie is just... Watching him work is... If you go back to our archives, you can find it. It's pretty amazing. He does like three new tracks, and the middle one just is like raps about pizza and internet radio, and I'm just like, it's just amazing that he already had a song written about pizza and internet radio.
Oh, that was off the top of his head.
Yeah.
That's the way his brain works.
So you worked with Reggie. I remember seeing that Brooklyn Bowl show, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did some stuff at Brooklyn Bowl. We used to do these shows that at the time was called the Lucky Cat. And
shout out to Lucky Cat.
Shout out to Lucky Cat.
Ex Brewer Falls, now something Victory.
Something.
Crown Victory?
No.
Crown Vic is other one.
No.
Grand Victory.
Grand Victory.
Thanks, Joe.
But it was an awesome group. We never rehearsed.
Beautiful.
Ever. And that was the only way that it could exist.
Was that the magic?
And that was the magic.
Yeah, it was a jam band.
Yeah, it was a jam band. It was an organized jam band, basically.
Can we use another term than jam band?
No.
No. Yeah. You can't dictate how a band
describes
itself.
It was a non-rehearsed band.
We can ask them not to play live, but they can still
so
say how would that work? So, okay.
Well, the same way that Reggie, he's one of the best, like, we're going to actually come from jazz school, and I've always been a fan of improvised music, but Reggie is one of the best improvisers I've ever dealt with, in the fact that he can improvise lyrics, just as you were just talking about. Yeah. Like, he didn't plan that radio... He'd make a song about this pair of headphones right now, off the top of his head.
Literally, there was like a half-eaten calzone and like a knife on top of it, and he just like sang about that. And I was like, "This is better than most songs I've ever heard."
Yeah.
So he would make
dear band. Sorry, what Reggie Watts spits out is better than
one Monday afternoon in the back of a pizza place.
So you guys come from an improv jazz background.
Yes.
A lot of scatting. You guys have
a lot of scatting.
A lot of scat sessions.
A
little beep bop booing.
And we try to, so that in the way, that sort of spirit is still connected to what we're doing now. That lineup, never being able to rehearse, never able to really record because everyone's schedule is like, it's just fragmented. I mean, Reggie's obviously off doing his own thing. You know, Morgan's doing the Midnight Magic. Guy's gone on to work extensively with Sam Sparrow.
And Fatherhood.
And so it just all kind of shattered. And after that, actually, I just went very serious in the studio work and worked for DFA for a while.
That up and started a label. Heard a lot of good things about DFA.
Well, I worked at their studio when James was on the road for their last tour. And then it all kind of worked out that I was next door to Morgan on Greenpoint Avenue with our studios, and having collected lots of synth gear, seeing like, oh, you know, this drum machine works well with this synth, and I think we could do this live. And so
we get some serious gear in the studio right now.
We have a lot of gear.
Mm-hmm. Let's see you work that gear.
Let's
hear a song. What are you guys going to play first? Or do these songs have names now?
They do have names. Okay. I mean, so there is some stuff that's pre-programmed in here, but we are going to be improvising on those sort of loops of things.
This might be our first jam session.
Anything could happen.
Nice. Anything could happen.
anything.
If you guys want to get involved, you know, just yeah. jump in there.
No, no.
If your initials are THC.
Yeah. all right. So what's the first jam we're gonna hear?
We're gonna do. It's part of a remix we did for a band called Little Daylight.
Okay.
That's done well for us, and we, you know, so it's kind of the instrumental of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that where we're starting with?
Yeah.
We're starting
yeah,
with
totally.
That.
We'll start with that.
And so yeah, Little Daylight, the song called Overdose.
Ooh, okay.
But it's our version.
So many drug references on this show.
Yeah. It's our interpreted remix. Our interpretation of our own remix.
Is it called the Double. Free Jam Remix?
The Free Jam Remix.
the free one.
The free one.
Double Remix?
Double Remix.
It's like double a double remix. Boiler, but no. For remixes.
Oh, boo. All right, why don't you get up there? Yeah, why don't you synth me? Synth me into submission.
All right, we have Tippy Toes live on Snacky Tunes. Nice.
Rad.
Electro Jam. So when did you guys go from not practicing
to practicing?
Yeah.
To
we like, never really started practicing.
To lock stuff thing. In.
To lock stuff. Yeah, I mean, the... yeah, with this stuff, it was like kind of like let's set up these, you know, pieces of gear, drum machines and synths, and see how they interact with each other, and you know the gear itself, because we don't use a computer or a laptop or anything like that, so it kind of sets a creative limitation for us to work within, and in some ways that defines the process of what we do a bit.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, also you have unbelievable training that you can just probably follow each other's instincts.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we kind of set up certain rules. I mean, it's like if you listen to any dance track, you know, the form of a dance track, something's going to change every 8 or 16 bars. Guaranteed.
Otherwise, the people stop dancing.
Yeah, and it gets bigger and it comes down. And, like, we didn't talk when we just played that. Sometimes we have to yell at each other a little bit more during a live set. But, like, you know, we try to...
Eye contact.
You know, absorb with the sort of, you know, language of the music. And then you just kind of feel where it should go. Obviously, you know, facing a wood wall in a radio show, you're not feeling where to go maybe as much as when there's, you know, a bunch of people.
Hey, man, don't blame it on us. You're the professional. Yeah. don't come into our house.
But it felt good. I don't know how long that was.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Oh, it was long enough. All right, guys. I'd say that was like... And you could feel like when that, you know, when it had time to end. I mean, and obviously it's easier if there's just two of you as opposed to five guys.
Oh, sure.
Do you guys ever cook together? Do you guys ever improv jam in the kitchen the same way?
We eat lunch together a lot.
What do you guys, what's your lunch? You guys cooking or you guys own out?
We're going out.
Yeah. We look like we're cooking? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Estella, man. It's the best spot of, you know, best lunch spot. The wine list, amazing.
Yeah. Nailed it. What's your go-to spot for lunch?
Well, we're on Greenpoint Avenue, so we go to Red Star to watch sport highlights.
Okay.
That happens. Le Gamond is great. And
Miss
now,
Kim's?
Miss Kim's is good. Is super solid.
Have you eaten at that place that has the two full, like, suits of armor out front?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's the one on Manhattan.
That's the one on Manhattan.
Is that what it's called?
Do they have turkey legs?
No, it's very Polish. It's really good.
Yeah, that spot is. I've heard good things.
Like, it's just one of those you're like, you look it off because the suits of armor, but, like, just, you know.
It's not inviting?
No, it's not, yeah. But we went in and, like, just, you know, it was great. Just really good, not that expensive, and just, like, really solid, like, Polish food.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
The Polish was great. We go to Karzma a lot, and they're all, it's like Renaissance fair in there. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have a wishing well in the middle of their restaurant.
No, they.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
What's it going around on wishing wells these days? Is it a penny, a quarter?
You can't put a penny in there.
You can't?
No way.
There's
no
dollars way. In there.
Yeah, it's up. Dandy is up.
I don't know when they clean that thing out or what the rule is on that.
They clean on the 30th for rent.
Yeah.
You can't put pennies in a wishing well anymore?
I don't know. I don't put it.
I just came up with that rule. I don't know. I could be wrong. Yeah.
I feel like it's anything. No?
No.
Throw chicken wings in there from Red Star. Yes. You guys want to do another jam?
Yeah, sure.
What are you going to play next? What are you going to improv?
I think we're really going to improv now.
Yeah, we're going deep. This is deep territory.
We call this going off the grid.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is that official jazz term?
No.
No, that's a Pro Tools term.
It's Pro Tools term.
I wish that was a theory class at Jazz U.
Yeah, off the grid.
Jazz U? Yeah. Scatting 201. And off the grid. You know, Jazz U versus Jazz College is a huge rivalry.
Huge rivalry.
Bunch of nerds trying to play basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then don't even talk about Jazz State.
That's where the real shit happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They have the hot girls, though. It's always state schools.
And Jazz CC, Community College.
Community College.
Hey, you go there for 2 years, wind up at Jazz U. No one ever knows.
Yeah.
All right. Enough on that riff. Let's hear some real music.
We're riffing all over.
Yeah. Yeah. Scatting on these jokes. All right, so we're going off the grid with Tippy Toes here on Snacky Tunes. Amazing. Off the Grid. Is that the official title of that song?
That's what it's called, yeah.
That's what it's called.
Off the G.
Off the G. That's so, where you guys live.
Exactly.
Darren, what's up?
Well done.
No problem.
I like your style right now.
That's yeah, you are like really.
We dude, put you in a mood,
dude.
Right
I'm just,
now.
I'm maxing. I got a belly full of pizza. Listen yeah. to Space Jams. So the EP is coming out on Let's Play House. How did mm-hmm. that come about? By the way, it's awesome. I have it here in my hand.
Yeah, you're holding
good,
it.
Good colors too.
Yeah.
Do you get to pick the colors?
No, we don't get to pick just, covers. Yeah, just, that's their cover. All that stuff.
Nick and Jacques.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had some stuff, some tracks going we're psyched about, and we just reached out to Jacques. You know, Jacques and Midnight Magic have a strong connection.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
actually, Nick just randomly was at one of our shows.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing.
So it kind of all happened. Yeah, Nick saw us
play. Was that
play.
The one at Pug Assembly?
Well, upstairs.
The loft?
Upstairs. Yeah, the loft.
I was also there.
Oh, well, there you
nice.
Go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Here we are.
So that's kind of how it started, yeah.
Because I was at the show? Because
you were at the show, yeah.
They said, oh,
you
shit.
You're like, this is some shit, man.
There's a breathless in the crowd. Yeah. Sign this band. Yeah. Sign them.
This must be good.
This must be good. Or there's free whiskey. So that's how you got... So it's out. It's out. It's on vinyl?
Am it's I on vinyl,
that?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's on...
Vinyl.
On vinyl, vinyl. Beatport, Juno Records for digital.
Number one with a bullet?
Number one with the bullet. I don't know what that is.
So number one with the bullet. Top of the Beatport charts.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, not there.
Not yet.
Yeah, we don't even know what that means.
After this radio show,
after
though.
After this radio show. Easily five more fans.
Our sales triple.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Sales go triple.
Yeah. We tripled your sales. Stack it, you've proven to triple your sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys see any uptick, in any success,
we'll take you out to dinner.
Yeah.
And where are we going?
Yeah.
Come on. Where are we going to go for that?
I know where we're going. So what are the summer plans? What are you guys going to do?
Going to Colombia.
Yeah, we're going to be going
back
to Colombia.
Are you serious?
Yeah, wow. We've actually performed in Bogota a couple times, and we love Bogota. And
it's amazing. Amazing food, actually.
Yeah, love
oh,
the
yeah,
food.
Oh, yeah, what are you excited to eat down there?
Everything.
I've been there 3, and he's been there twice.
Yeah.
And, we just got with these good group of guys. They love having us come play their club. And but yeah, the food we eat there, I mean, what's that one? Potato.
Oh, they are. What's that soup
Waka.
Called?
No.
What's the soup from Bogota? It's like kind of a potato-based soup with corn.
Yeah, I know.
It's called, oh, man. I never remember what it is. But you can only get it in Bogota because they have these particular potatoes there.
That grow at a certain elevation.
Oh.
You go there, you realize everything grows in Bogota all year round.
Yeah.
So everything's just so fresh. It's like you get any normal food and it's like there's no, you know, there's no seasons. You're on the equator and it's just like...
Do you bring down the whole setup or do you just DJ when you're down there?
We'll usually do both. We'll do a live set and we'll do a DJ set maybe at 2 different venues.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And
a little double dip, I like it.
Yeah. A little double dip, try to double dip. Yeah. And and then this time we're going to try and hit up a couple other cities in Colombia.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
That I don't want to butcher the pronounce how to pronounce that.
That's fine.
Cali.
Cali, I can do that one.
Great.
Yeah. The one that starts with M. Yeah. Go ahead, Morgan, keep going with the names of the cities.
Medellin, maybe?
There we go.
Medellin, yeah.
Cartagena visited. Hopefully we'll visit it. Again, I've been there once to visit. But DJing there is a little trickier because it's more of a tourist area. It's
hey, like, man.
But there's an island. We want to DJ that. It's at San Andres.
San Andres. That's where we want to go.
That's what we're talking about, yeah.
Ignacio, you going to go down and be the private chef?
Oh, man. I went twice last year within a month. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're taking their food seriously. Yeah, they take their food.
Maybe we'll
seriously.
Just move this whole operation to Bogota for our tour, you know?
Yeah, we'll just put this
you guys
on a
shot
boat.
At the restaurant and just say you went to Bogota. And then, and then we'll just kind of quit our jobs and we'll just, it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so where can people get the record? Where can people find you?
I already told you.
Well, Turntable Labs has the record in stock at store.
That's so you get the vinyl?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Yes.
Do you get free MP3 downloads when you buy the vinyl?
No. Talk to Nick.
We'll call him after this. We'll tell him it's 2013.
It's all very cheap. Actually, you can get it on iTunes as well. It's $4. on iTunes.
Or you can just have them on the show and you get it for free.
There you go.
Hey, guys, you want to know how to get free music? Start a radio show.
There you go.
Yep.
That's the real thing. So how can people find you on the internet?
I think the most important thing is actually SoundCloud. Okay. And that's just soundcloud.com/tippytoes.
Ooh, so you got Tippy Toes.
Got Tippy Toes. Oh,
yeah. You know, I'm actually surprised it's such a good band name and that it wasn't taken. There wasn't some, like, you know, kids band, you know, some like creepy 4-year-olds who sing to kids at Wyoming.
There is maybe one kids band with an I as Tippy Toes. But if you Google Let's Play House Tippy Toes, there's a
Brooklyn
Playhouse company that makes things for kids.
Oh, this is not a joke. Some real creepy stuff.
It is a creepy website.
You guys should sell like bounce house with like tippy toe music.
Well, I was thinking we could get a Playhouse as part of our live setup.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Great. So why don't you guys take us out with one more track?
Cool.
Yeah.
We're gonna do that.
Which one is gonna be?
This one's gonna be from the EP, and it'll be The Naughty Dip.
The Naughty Tip?
The Naughty Dip.
Anyway, well, thanks for being on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you to Ignacio and Thomas. And
go eat at the restaurant. Goes into the album.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Second Chance. Yeah, I won't, but you will.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
Have fun and
party. Are you look like that, stretched out?
No, when you're not here, I gotta be super formal.
Okay. I'm glad that when I'm here, you just like drop right
down. This girl is doing everything she can not to look at you.
Yeah.
She's on a date.
She's like, just stay on my phone. Stay on my phone. Yeah.
I flew all the way from Wisconsin, and there's this guy in short shorts lounging, trying to eat pizza. Right.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. Why don't you take us out?
Take us out.
Naughty Dip.
Naughty Dip. Here we go. Live with Zach and Tunes. See you next week. Greg, have fun in France.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.